So I don't know how many of you guys are aware of this. Some of you know our Michelle, our connections minister, and I, we've actually known each other since we were 14, and we've been friends a long time. And when we were teenagers, our heart's desire, our goal was to be on Saturday Night Live. And so we're trying to kind of live that out, you know, but thank God he put a better dream in our hearts, and hopefully we're actually serving in our God-given calling. But I want to know this morning, guys. How many of you have seen a tray like this before at a restaurant? Everybody, is that kind of familiar? So this particular tray comes from mine and Ashley, my wife, our favorite restaurant. It's our kind of go-to once a year, celebrate wedding anniversaries kind of place. And this is the tray that a waiter or a waitress brings around the table at the end of the meal. I mean, just look at it right now. Does it like entice your sweet tooth this morning? Yeah? So the waiter or the waitress brings it around at the end of the meal, even though you're beyond full at this point, right? You've enjoyed all the fullness of the homemade bread, the bounty of the salad bar, and the fullness of the slab of meat. And yet, when they show this to you, it still makes you crave something sweet to wrap up this entire food experience. And our go-to is in the top left corner. It's the Texas deep dish pecan pie a la mode, baby. I mean, it's good stuff. Now, what you may not realize is when you look at this display tray, every time you see ice cream on this tray, it is absolutely 100% fake. Like when they're showing it to you, the ice cream is not real. I asked them what it is, and it's Crisco. So it's basically a scoop of fat, right? That's so gross. Can you imagine just eating like Crisco on pecan pie? No, that's gross, y'all. That'd be really gross. And you know what? Relationships can be a lot like that. Relationships can be a lot like that. When they're fake, it can be kind of enticing at times and maybe intriguing. Can maybe seem like that's what we actually crave, but in the end, it leaves you just kind of grossed out and it's empty. And when they're real, man, they're satisfying and they're good. And when I think about all of that, it makes me think about a quote that's one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite authors and pastors. His name is Tim Keller, and he wrote this book called The Meaning of Marriage. I read it several years ago, and this quote had such a profound impact on me that it's just stuck with me, you know, like Crisco sticks with you. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to just kind of break it down. So rather than just reading it to you, I want you to hear it piece by piece and hear all the depth of meaning that is based on the truth of God's word here. So it starts like this. To be loved but not known is superficial. And I actually want you to fill those blanks in either on your BPF app or in your message notes. To be loved but not known is superficial, meaning that it's fake, that it's surface, that it's hollow. There's not a whole lot to it. If somebody loves you but doesn't really know you, can you even really call that love? I mean, that kind of superficial love, it may bring some level of comfort. It may bring some level of fun. But at the end of the day, it's going to leave you empty because it's fake and temporary. How many of you have ever experienced that kind of relationship? You know what I think really breeds that kind of relationship right now in our day and time is social media. Right? This love relationship where maybe it's better actually to call it this like relationship where you're liked on Facebook, you're liked on Instagram, you're liked on Snapchat. You've got this like going on, but they don't really know the real you, the real behind the scenes kind of stuff of real life. It's just shallow and superficial. Is it really a relationship or connection at all? Or is it just a fake? So the quote goes on. To be loved but not known is superficial. To be known but not loved is our greatest fear. To really be known for who we are, but then not to be loved for who we are, that is what we fear, isn't it? That's a true statement. This is what we fear. We think things like, man, if they really knew me, would they still love me? If they really knew who I am, would they still accept me and approve of me? We think if they knew the thoughts that I think, if they knew the things that I'd done, the actions that I've engaged in, if they knew the mistakes that I've made, the sins that I've committed, and the past that I have, would they still approve of me and accept me? Would they love me? If they really knew the real me, would they still listen to my preaching? Just being authentic this morning. So the things that we think, right? And this new series, Authentic, What we're really talking about here is one of Brazos Point's core values. We're led by these core values that guide how we do church, how we lead, and what we do. And one of our core values is the value of authenticity. We want authenticity to be something that defines our culture as a church. We want authenticity to be a part of our ethos and what makes us up. And we want to have the kind of authenticity that we can say to someone, hey, come just as you are. You can be real in this place. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. Let's be transformed by Jesus together. And the way that we define authenticity in our Discovering Brazos Point class is this. We say that authenticity is living with a sense of transparency, this being seen. Another way to say this whole thing is what it means to be authentic is authenticity is letting what is be known. But you know what? Being known is scary. Being known gets us out of our comfort zone. Being known is intimidating, isn't it? It feels very vulnerable. I mean, can we really be fully known and truly loved? The quote goes on to say, to be loved but not known is superficial. To be known but not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved, that's what our hearts long for. Y'all, that's what we crave. Whether you acknowledge that or not this morning, that's the kind of thing that our hearts were built to crave. And that's what we want, to be fully known and to be truly loved. And some of you are at a phase and a stage in your life. Some of you have had experience that have led you to a point that you think that kind of transparency in relationships, that kind of connection, man, that's a fairy tale. You can't really be fully known and truly loved. You think it'd be easier to find Bigfoot or a unicorn than to find that kind of relationship. But I want you to see this morning that there is a unique relationship where you can be fully known and truly loved, and that relationship has the power and the potential to transform all other relationships. So let's go find this unique relationship in the Bible. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans is in the New Testament portion of your Bible. It's after the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are biographies of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Then you have the book of Acts, which is kind of like a fifth gospel. And then you get to the letter of Romans. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8 together this morning. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the words up on the screen. I would also encourage you to use your notes and follow along. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What I want you to see this morning is that this one verse is authentic Christianity. Like, this is the real deal. This is the real version of our faith. This is authentic Christianity. And so to better understand it, I just want to break apart the pieces of this verse. And the first thing that I see, what really draws my attention in Romans 5:8, is the love of God. That's the centerpiece of this verse. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I want you to know this morning, that God is love. Like, there are other scriptures that say it that clearly. God is love. Love is his nature. It's who he is, and it's what he does. And what this verse tells us is the love of God has been demonstrated. The love of God has been proven so that we can see it so very clearly. I want you to know this morning that God has gone to great lengths to prove his love for you. God has gone to great lengths to initiate relationship with you. He's an initiating kind of God. The Bible tells us that if you love him, it's because he loved you first. God loves first, and then we respond to his great love. What I want you to write in your notes this morning is this: relationship with a loving God is what we need. We need it. We need it. We were created for it. We were created by God, for God, to be in relationship with God. But just like Romans 5:8 tells us, we're still sinners. God is holy and perfect, and he is without flaw, and we are still sinners. I want you to actually circle that two-word phrase in Romans 5:8, still sinners. You're still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. I've been saved by the grace of God, and here I am, still a sinner. I've been walking with Jesus for 25 plus years, and here I am, still a sinner. We are still sinners. You're still a sinner, and so am I. And so that creates a problem for us. The reality is those two words, still sinners, That really describes us very well. But I want you to see Romans 5:8 describes also Jesus in his gospel. That word simply means good news. Now, to really understand this, I want to take a little bit broader approach at understanding it by looking at it in its context of Romans chapter 5. So look back to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So when you take these two verses together, what they say about us is that we are powerless, ungodly sinners. Well, welcome to church. Yeah? Like, happy Sunday to you, you powerless, ungodly sinner. You know? But this is what I want you to see this morning, guys, that if we are really going to get to the point that we appreciate how good the good news is, we have to understand how bad the bad news is. And this reflects some truths about me and about you, that we are powerless, ungodly sinners. And when you take all of that sobering bad news and truth together, basically what it says is that all people are helpless, all people are devoted to some sort of sin, and all people are void of reverence for God. And if that's true, then why would God want a relationship with somebody like that? Have you ever felfelt that before? Man, that's true of me. Why would God want a relationship with me? It's because there's more than one truth going on here all at the same time. All of these things are true, and yet so is this. Look at the way 1 Corinthians 15:49 says this. Just look up on the screens. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, this is a reference to Adam, the first of all creation, right? God made Adam and Eve, and Adam chose sin over God. Sin is introduced into the story, and the world has fallen. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. And this is a reference to Jesus Christ, the God man. And what this says to us is that there's two things going on inside of every person all at the same time. We are both physical beings and spiritual beings. We bear the image of Adam. We are human. We are created. And we have that physical nature about us. But at the same time, we are spiritual beings. And this is not just Christ followers. This is all people are made in the image of God. We are spiritual beings. So yes, we are still sinners, but we are also still image bearers. And that alone is what gives you value. That alone is what makes you matter. That you are an image bearer of the one true God. And every single person, all people, carry that kind of value. And that alone is enough for God. That alone is enough. All people have this intrinsic value because of the image of God in us. So we're totally sinful, but we're totally valuable all at the same time. And the reality is God knows all of that about every single one of us. He knows that you have this image, and he knows that it's been marred by sin. As Christians, we believe that God is omniscient. That may be a new word. It just simply means that God is all-knowing. What that means is that we believe that our God knows everything about everything. And if God knows everything about everything, then he knows everything about me. And that's terrifying, isn't it? He knows the things that I think but don't say. Think about that. Like, listen to what the truth of other places of the Bible say to us. Psalm 139:4. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, you know it completely. God even knows the things that I filter out. That's concerning. Hebrews 4:13, nothing, meaning no thing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. There is no closet that God doesn't see. There is no junk drawer in your life that God doesn't see. There is nothing in all of the things that God does not see. No thing is hidden from his sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The phrase in that just really jumps out at me is laid bare. All things are laid bare before God. Doesn't get much more vulnerable than that, does it? Right? There's other scriptures that say that God knows the secrets of our hearts. There's scriptures that say that God knows every hair on our head. And I must insert the obligatory joke here about some people's heads having, you know, easier to be able to count than others, right? Like the bald joke. And I can make that joke because I'm getting there, right? Like, in fact, I want y'all to know this. I have more hair than it looks. The lighting just makes it kind of disappear, all right? So God's not having as easy a time counting my hairs as you think he is. But y'all, here's my point this morning. It's that God knows us fully. And I don't know if that terrifies you or excites you, but the reality is every thought, every nook, and every cranny of your being, of your life, of your existence is 100% completely known by God. It's part of what we believe as Christ followers. He knows all the good. He knows all the bad, and all the bad, and all the bad, and all the ugly. And yet, at just the right time, Christ died for the powerless, ungodly people who love sin and are void of reverence. And this verse tells us so much more about God than it even tells us about ourselves, right? You feel the depths of the richness of who God is as you understand his nature and his character in this verse. Not only is God love, but he's more than just that. He's selfless and he's sacrificing. God loves us selflessly. God loves us in a sacrificing kind of way. Look back to Romans 5. Let's look at the whole context, verses 6 to 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, put verses 7 and 8 together, and what this is saying is God died even while you were sinful. You weren't even righteous. You for sure weren't righteous. And you weren't even good. And I wasn't even good. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified, and that word justified is the hinge of all of this. Circle that word, memorize that word. Since we have now been justified by his blood, the blood of Jesus, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have now received reconciliation. That's relationship. Reconciliation is about relationship restored, the relationship that we crave, the relationship that our souls need more than anything else. We get that relationship through Jesus Christ. What Romans 5 is showing us is, yes, you are fully known by God, but at the same time, you are truly loved by God. You are truly loved by God Almighty. And there's some of you, that's just the simple truth that you need to hear this morning. You are loved. You are valued. You are truly loved by God, and it's the kind of love that we crave. It's the kind of love where we're fully known and truly, truly, truly loved. And all of this is made possible because of the person and work of Jesus. Like, Jesus is the one that makes this possible. Because of his sacrificial death, because of his selfless life, because of his powerful resurrection from the dead, that's what makes this very relationship possible. And I want to walk you this morning through two truths, two clear takeaways that I want you to walk away with great certainty of this morning as you go. And it all hinges on this phrase in verse 9 that says, we've been justified by his blood. Again, circle that word, justified. Underline that phrase, justified by his blood. When we talk about this, we like to make it simple by saying, when we stand before God, it's just as if I'd never sinned, right? I'm sinful. I'm ungodly. Those are descriptors of me. And at the end of my life, when I stand before a holy and righteous God, it's going to be just as if I'd never sinned. Not because I didn't, because I have and I do, but because I've experienced the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And I bring Jesus' righteous record instead of my own record of unrighteousness. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what makes this possible. The blood of Christ justifies us. And so what I want you to see this morning, one of these two truths, is that the love of God is 100% completely, fully accessible for you today and for forever. It can be accessed. You have full access to the love of God because of what God has done in Christ. Jesus is our substitute. He lived the life that we couldn't live. And what I mean by that is Jesus lived perfect. He kept every single law. He did everything right. And the reason why he could do that is because he's the God-man. He's both man and God. And Jesus lived the life that we couldn't live. He took our place. He substituted for us. And he built this righteous record, this resume that he then gives to us. And that gives you full access to the love of God. But it's not just that. Jesus was also our substitute in death. He took on the death that we deserved as a consequence. He took our punishment. And when he does that for us, that gives us full access to reconciliation. The blood of Jesus is enough for us to have restored relationship with God. Y'all, that is authentic Christianity. That is grace. Justification by faith as a work of God's grace. That is the core of authentic Christianity. And anything different than that is either a lie or a distortion of the truth. If you've grown up or you've heard of a version of Christianity that says that you have to justify yourself, you have to earn approval with God, you have to earn his love, you have to work your way into his good graces, that is a lie. You are incapable of that. You can't, I can't, we can't. But Jesus did, and he just gives it to us freely as grace. And that's authentic faith. That's authentic Christianity. You've got full access to that. And the second truth that I want you to take away this morning, knowing fully, is this. Not only do you have access to the love of God, but you have assurance of the love of God in Christ. You can walk away today knowing that you know that you know that God loves you. That you are valued and you are loved. What Romans 5:8 says is that it's been demonstrated. The love of God has been demonstrated. It's been proven for us. Listen to the way that Ephesians 2:4-5 says this. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You have been saved. You have been rescued. You have been reconciled. You have been justified. And you can know that you are secure. To be saved is to be safe. It is to be secure in Christ. You can know that God loves you and that God will continue to love you. And there's nothing you did to earn his love. And there is nothing you can do to lose his love. You are secure in the love of God. Listen to me. No matter how weak or powerless you are, no matter how ungodly or sinful you've been, you are loved. And that, my friends, is authentic Christianity. If you've been made alive with Christ, if you've been justified by his blood, if you've received the gift of reconciliation and relationship, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you, then you can have assurance that nothing, no thing in all of creation, including you, can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ. Nothing. You are safe. You are secure. You are saved. And y'all, that changes everything. When you know that you can be fully known and truly loved with this kind of love, it's an absolute game changer. It changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we feel. Listen, when you know that you are good with the God of the universe, when you know that you are good with the Almighty, when you know that you are good with your Creator, that brings freedom. If you're good with God, then you have been set free. John 8:36 says this, if the Son of God, meaning Jesus Christ, if the Son of God has set you free, then you are free indeed. You are free. Being fully known and truly loved, it's liberating. It's transformational. It's life-changing, and it changes our hearts. And like I told you at the beginning of this message, this unique relationship has the power and the potential to transform all of your other relationships. What I want you to see this morning is this connection, this vertical connection that we have with God that's made possible because of the person and work of Jesus, right? This becomes the motivation, the foundation. This becomes what it is that then sets the tone for all of our horizontal relationships, our human-to-human, people-to-people relationships. They're defined by our vertical connection with God. And the reality is when you have been set free, when you are secure, when you know that you're good with God, all of a sudden that makes human approval, that makes human love, human acceptance, and human affection so much less important. That's one of the things that the freedom of grace does in our heart, is it puts us in a place where these horizontal relationships don't have as much power over us. But instead, it sets us free. It sets us free to just be ourselves. This is what I want you to see this morning. Write this in your notes. How we are loved by God determines how we will love others. Yeah, this is the essence of what it means to be a Christ follower. This is why we use this term at Brazos Point, Christ follower, rather than even Christian. Because a Christ follower shows not only our identity, that our identity is in Christ, but that our identity determines our actions. A Christ follower does the things that Jesus did and lives the way that Jesus encouraged and doesn't do the things that Jesus said not to do. We are Christ followers. Right? Jesus is our identity, and who we are determines what we do. Because of who I am in Christ, that determines my attitudes and my actions and my thoughts and the things that I do and the things that I don't do. And the Holy Spirit moves in us to lead us to that place where we come just the way that we are, but we don't stay that way as the Holy Spirit continues to transform us. That's another byproduct of his love. And the way that we have been loved by God determines the way that we love other people. And you have been fully known and yet truly loved, and so followers of Christ, let's know and be known. Let's be authentic and let people be authentic with us. Let's be willing to share from our strengths and our weaknesses. Let's share the things that we struggle with, the things that we fear. Let's be honest enough with each other that we are truly real about what goes on in our hearts and minds. Let's be known and know and still love and love well. We have been set free so that we can love in that way. And y'all, all of this gets right at the heart of one of Brazos Point's guide marks. If you would grab this card out of the seat back in front of you or out of your Bible from a previous series, these are our guide marks for personal growth. This is a tool for discipleship, to disciple yourself and to disciple others. And this whole series, Authentic, is working on this I guide mark, investing in accountable relationships. That's what it's all about, that we're free to do this. I want you to read this personal growth statement with me from the card. It says, personal growth requires developing relationships that stretch us, that take us out of our comfort zone. When I choose to invest in others and allow them to invest in me, right? It's not just what you get, but it's what you give. It's not just what you do, but what you do for others. It produces authenticity and it provides support. Then as I encourage others, I am encouraged myself to seek and to take next steps with God. That's what it looks like for us to live in accountable, authentic relationships with other Christ followers. And we need that. What that does for us in our most significant horizontal relationships, which is what we're going to talk about the rest of the series, our most meaningful human-to-human horizontal relationships, right? Like our community, our friendships, our connection with other Christ followers, our marriages and parenting, these most significant authentic relationships, we're free to have this kind of being known and being accountable because of how secure we are in Christ. And that motivates us then to love other people the way that Jesus loved us. Let me wrap up by reading this to you. It's Galatians 5:13 out of the New Testament. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I think we've covered that. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Do not let the grace of God become license for you for misdeeds and misbehaviors. Do not let grace become license for you to live in sinfulness and ungodliness, right? Come as you are, but don't stay that way. Let's be changed and transformed together. Do not let your freedom indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. So how do we serve one another humbly in love? This is the key. It's these accountable relationships, where we're open and real enough about who we are that I can say to you and you can say to me, you know what? Let's be pulled away from that sin and let's push each other into Jesus. And that's exactly what I pray that God would do here at Brazos Point Fellowship. Let's pray. God, this morning we thank you that you are so much greater than we even understand. You are the God who knows fully and loves truly. And we thank you that we can say with security, we can say with assurance that we have full access to your love, that in Christ we have been justified, we have been reconciled, and we have been made new. that we can say with certainty that you've put within us the power of your Holy Spirit, and we live and we exist as temples of the one true God. And so God, this morning I pray that by the work of your Spirit and the power of your Son, that you would take the walls down. God, some of us have built walls between you and us. Some of us have built walls between us and others. Some of us have built walls between us and church. And I pray that your Spirit would destroy those walls and let us be known and be safe. God, some of us have used that freedom to indulge the flesh. Some of you, us, have used that as license to walk in our sinfulness. And I pray, God, that you'd not leave us where we are, but that you would transform us out of that mess. God, gently guide us to repentance. And my prayer, Father, is that you would work in this church in such a way that we can live out authenticity in a way that's transformational, that we would have healthy small groups and healthy community, that we would have healthy marriages and healthy families, because we're willing to be authentic about who we are and who we aren't, and because we stand secure about who we are in Jesus. And Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we recognize that all of this is because of you. So it's for your glory and for our good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.